I'm V and I'm 50 years old and I'm a HCA, which is a healthcare assistant. I work in palliative care.
So what does that mean day to day? Who are you caring for?
Numerous amounts of people. Now I am working with the same groups of people. There's obviously a few rounds, but I'm working with the same people. Unlike last year, I was working with lots of different people.
Look, just give us an idea of the sorts of places where you're going day to day. And I mean, is it at one place? Are you
Oh,
going in a
no,
car
it
round
can
and round?
be. Oh, goodness. I mean, I live near Ashton Court. It can be anything from Gloucester to Severn Beach to Thornbury to Portishead to Peel. You know, it depends.
So you're helping people in their homes, are you?
Yes, going into people's houses.
Okay, and day to day, what are you doing? What is it that these people, what care exactly is it that these people need?
It depends of what they basically to keep them healthy and keep them out of hospital. So it can be anything from, I don't know, tea and biscuit call where you just sit and talk to them, or it can be anything from convenes to stoma bags, personal care. Each client's completely different, so it depends on that individual client.
And do you spend a lot of time in between? Because it does sound as if you're going up to Gloucester and stuff that, you could be spending half your time in the car.
Majority of the times, yes. Sometimes we have calls between clients, which last year was obviously really strange because everything was shut and you were just sat in your car. Sometimes the calls are back to back. So you start at 7 o'clock in the morning and you finish at two. You do not get a cigarette break. You do not get a lunch break. You literally eat whilst you're driving. You have no choice. And I'm not saying there's anything bad in that. We know what the job is when we take it. Other times you might have an hour gap where you've got nothing to do and you're really bored. But it is what it is at the end of the day.
So, are you ever sitting thinking to yourself, well, actually, maybe this person really should be in a home or something?
I would like to think that I could assist people and help people to not go in a home, and be there for them to help that, if that makes sense.
Yes, of course, but sometimes people are in denial, aren't they? Especially when elderly
Oh, of
people
course,
start to
of course,
deteriorate,
of
they are
course.
saying to themselves, no, I don't need to go into a home. I mean, I've had this in my own family where, you think to yourself, well, actually, maybe you'd be better off in there. You've got more people to talk to, more company, and also more immediate care if, things go wrong.
Sometimes that could be the case, and you get family members as well that can want that for their family members. But at the end of the day, it is usually the client's choice, unless, of course, they have not got capacity.
Okay, so how have you found it working through COVID? Have you found that, many of your clients have succumbed to COVID? And what about your own working conditions?
Okay, I would say when COVID was first introduced to us in, was it March last year? I would say none of my clients have COVID, even though, I mean, COVID allegedly come out on the 30th of January was the first known case in the UK. And was it 52 or 54 days? I could be a bit mistaken on that, when good old Boris decided to put us on lockdown after we'd been rubbing shoulders to shoulders and everything. I was going into complete stranger's house. At that point, I would say I probably had a lot of new clients, where lots of people were obviously scared to go out. It was really weird driving around. It was like the Mary Celeste. There was nobody on the roads. Going into complete strangers' houses, obviously we didn't have full PPE to start with. That's not my company's fault. They were really good and really on the ball. That was just the government just not really caring about us, carers really. We were just going into completely, people. I was going into people's houses that I'd never seen before, and yet the government said that I'm not allowed to, visit my family, which didn't make any sense.
No. And what about knowing whether people had COVID or didn't, or whether you were you getting tested at that point?
Nope. Nope.
No, because there seemed to be several months where, you know, you kind of just had to guess whether you had it or not.
Well, no, to be honest, I think I'm immune. Yes, I have gone into people that have COVID, but that's been more recently. We do not know. We are carers. If you're in a hospital, you're privileged enough to know who you're going into. You're privileged enough to have people around you that can assist you and help you. We didn't know. We would go into houses. We wouldn't know. Under the Data Protection Act, the only way we would find out would be to check the actual notes within the house, which obviously they're not going to be updated, are they? Because no one was going in to update them. Yeah.
Well, at least, I mean, you really are an absolutely essential service for many people. I suppose you're also, you know, helping people get up in the mornings, that sort of thing.
Oh, it's you know, getting them up, putting them to bed, making sure they've got the right medication. You obviously can't mess up the medication. If you do, they can end up in comas, bless them. So, you know, you have to be pretty on the ball with everything to make sure that you're providing the service so that they can stay at home that little bit longer.
Throughout that period right up till now, when have you seen more of the clients of yours, passing away? Because, you know, there's been all sorts of rumours about, you know, various sort of spikes in numbers of people dying. What you make of that, because we've had nearly 2 years of this now. I just wonder when you noticed that there were, you know, the biggest problems, I suppose, with serious illness.
Well, I would say I've worked in care for years, and I would say the most people that have passed away have been the beginning of this year for about the first 3 months. That's the most I have ever seen. And I'm not even talking about my clients, because people go, oh, yeah, well, you work for, you know, vulnerable people. What do you expect? I'm on about their family members as well, you know, from all different ages, not just very mature people. But I would say that would be the first 3 months of this year. Mainly it was strokes. Lots of people as well. But I do have family over in Wales. And I was told by my family members that people that had the vaccination had also got a bout of shingles. Then I noticed with my clients that they were having a shingles vaccination. But that was more several months afterwards. That wasn't New Year time. That was quite recently.
Okay, so what do you make of that? What's the cause of that, do you think?
I've got no idea. I think, I wouldn't like to speculate, because if I think about it too much, it pickles my brain, Tony. That's the only thing that scares me. I mean, they're obviously doing scaremongering. You know, you can't do this, you can't see people. But, you know, I can go into complete strangers. And it's not as if, you know, it's not my company. They've got to provide care for the people they're having thrown at them. And obviously at the beginning of the pandemic, where so many people were taken out of hospitals and put into care homes, you know, I believe that is why there was such a spike in people passing away in care homes.
Well, that's quite possible, yeah. Mm. What about this letter that you've just got? Because I understand, I mean, you've been many years doing this caring job for many years. You've developed rather a lot of skills, if I might say so. I think you're an excellent carer. You're probably the sort of person that people would breathe a sigh of relief when they came in to look after you, you know, because some people aren't quite as, concentrated on the job and conscientious as others. But so what about this letter that you've got?
Well, basically, my company have always had my back. I've always explained that I do not want the vaccination. It's not that I'm anti-vax. It's not that I'm against anything. It's just at the beginning, I obviously got offered it when my clients were having the vaccination. And I said no. You know, it wasn't I don't want it because of this or anything at all. I just said no. And since then, I still said no. And with everything coming around it and being forced to take it and bullied into taking it, you know me, Tony, no, I'm even more no now. I don't want to be bullied into it. Then I have a letter. My company have always stood by me, always supported me, and I have had a letter that's basically said that if I'm not vaccinated and have a vaccinated passport, by February the 1st, then on the 1st of April, which is the biggest joke ever, I'm going to be unemployed. I'm going to lose my job. Now, I suppose in a way, if they'd have said new people that are coming into care, if you wear a mask when you're giving care or you're with someone within your job, I suppose that would make a bit more sense. Not that I would condone it in any way, because I still don't understand why they're doing this, but it would make more sense if people are starting jobs to then bring it in gradually that way. But to tell me that I am not going to have a job unless I get vaccinated, well, I'm going to become unemployed then. And not only that, if this one comes into place, you know, it's going to go down to everything from school teachers to people picking up bins. You know, it's not going to stop. It's, you know, we're not going to be able to go outside the front door or even go shopping without proving we've been vaccinated.
So they're telling you that you must have your first vaccination by the 1st of February.
No, both of them. I have to have both of them by the 1st of February, I believe, because then it'll take a couple of months, because obviously we're going to be ill afterwards. That's why when people were going for, when other HCAs, healthcare assistants, were having their vaccinations, we were told, because obviously we're 0-hour contract and we just give our availability each week, we were told to let the office know when we're going to have the vaccine so that they could book us time off afterwards. You had to have, I'm not sure of the exact time because I obviously didn't have the vaccine, but you had to have a certain amount. I don't know if it was a few days or a week off after the vaccination to make sure you're okay, because so many people were getting ill. And, you know, and these were people in their 20s and 30s.
Well, that is surprising. But I mean, I notice it says, actually reading out this thing you sent me that you've got, it says, you know, you must have your first vaccination by February the 1st, 2022, in order to comply with these regulations by April the 1st, 2022, unless you are exempt from having the vaccine, in which case you will have to provide a medical exemption certificate from your GP. It then goes on to say, I will need all staff to send me their NHS vaccination passport by Monday the 29th of November. Well, this is assuming that people already do have a vaccination passport, which is this kind of apartheid system now.
Lots of them do. Yeah,
but I mean, it really is. If you don't have this piece of paper, you can't work. It's like a two-tier QR society.
Code.
But I'd just like to point out that it's spelt wrong, you know. I don't know who wrote this, but it says I will need all staff to send me their NHS vaccination passport, T-H-E-R-E. But anyway, it doesn't inspire great confidence. But anyway, well, so what do you think you're going to do about this?
Buy a lottery ticket. Get some land. I've got no idea. Tony, I rent. I'm not flush with cash. I've got no idea what I'm going to do. This is my job. I've got MVQ. I've done it for years. I know my job. I love my job, believe it or not. I'm good at my job. You know, I don't know. I do not know. I've got no idea what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to stress about it.
I suppose at least there's a bit of time before February and April. I just wonder whether actually sacking people for not having a vaccine against a disease which they are not necessarily vulnerable to. I mean, you know, you in your age group and your state of health are basically not going to die of COVID. And yet they're telling you that you've got to have a vaccine against it if you're going to be allowed to work. Now, this just doesn't seem to make sense to me at all.
And not only that, I mean, I've gone into people with COVID. I haven't, obviously, for a few weeks. But before then, I would go into people's houses that where a family member did, you know, and COVID patients, blah, blah, blah. I've not caught anything. I've not had anything, you know. I mean, I had one of my clients who went into hospital last year. Not saying anything about the client or the reason the client went in, but they were in hospital for a few months. After they were in hospital for at least 6 weeks, okay, they caught COVID. Now, they had nobody coming in to visit them because they weren't allowed, which obviously really affected their mental health. They had nobody coming in apart from giving them food. Now, that to me makes no sense. No sense at all.
You know, I mean, especially if they've been COVID free. But I mean, yes. You know, what they say is that this is going to be going around in the air anyway. Look, another thing is, I know that you're part of a vegan group. Yeah. Now, there are some quite serious objections to the vaccinations, largely because they're all tested on animals, although I'm not sure if this particular one has been.
Vegans,
well, okay, but so there are various, aren't there? Vegans are, you know, principled vegans are completely against that sort of thing, and so will not do so.
Right. Well, if you just said to every vegan about 2 years ago before COVID, you know, if would you take a medication if it was tested on animals, if it meant saving your life? Everybody I know, I've been so upset and angry with some people that have said that, you know, oh, I would never take anything that's tested on animals. I don't even use shampoo that's tested on animals, you know, not knowingly getting it, blah, blah, blah. But I would say the majority of vegans, even the Vegan Society, because I messaged them, have said something with regards to, oh, everyone should take the vaccine for, you know, has the choice to take their own vaccine. Even Peter have said something as well. And
sorry, who?
Yeah, Peter, PETA.
Yeah, it's People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. Yeah.
My brain. Yeah, that's because I'm getting so annoyed at people. Yeah, 2 years ago, everyone would have said, Tony, they would have all said, no, I won't take anything. And then, you know, the vegans get told, oh, you know, these animals have been tested. And the reason a lot of people at the moment are saying that people that have had the vaccine are going to die within 2 years is because the animals that were tested on were small and died within a few weeks or a few months. Usually when that's the case, that's when humans die in a first year. So that is where that story comes from, if that makes sense. Right. Yeah?
Well, no. Can you just explain that?
Vivisection. And again, I've stood shoulder to shoulder with people with regards to vivisection. So they know what happens to the animals. They've seen, maybe not firsthand, but on videos. And when a small animal is dissected, is given medication and dies within a few months, usually, but not always, when that medication is given to a human, the human will die within a couple of years. So it's usually around, I'm not 100% sure, it depends on the size of the animal, but usually when an animal dies within a month, then it's a year for the human. So if the animal dies in a couple of months, then it's or a couple of weeks, depending on the size of the animal and what the animal is, the human will die within a couple of years, if that makes any sense. So
that does. Yeah. But, you know, these animal rights organisations, for example, PETA, says the goal of being vegan and advocating for animal rights should always be to bring about positive change for animals. As long as tests on animals are a legal requirement, refusing to take medicines on ethical grounds will not help animals.
I don't know.
They go on to say, what needs to happen is a change in the law so that animals are no longer required to suffer in tests. And you can most effectively bring this about by using your voice to speak out, not by stopping having a vaccine.
Yeah, well, I would say if you read their documents a couple of years ago, it was completely different. So they've obviously been bought as well. No sympathy.
Okay, well, looking at the AstraZeneca vaccine, that's actually made from some cells of a chimpanzee. It's actually a part of an animal. It's an adenovirus of some sort, but it is actually part of an animal if people get an AstraZeneca vaccine. So what are vegans thinking about that?
I've got no idea about everyone else. I thought that, you know, I had a lot of support and a lot of friends. I've fallen out with We're not falling out. I do not communicate now with a lot of people that I thought were lifetime friends because of this. I just don't understand how I've stood shoulder to shoulder with people on vivisection marches, on, you know, and then for them. I mean, there was someone I know, hypocrite, who has had the vaccine and then went to the to Huntington's to protest. And I said to them, you know, that's about vivisection. I said, you've just had the vaccine. Yeah, I don't know. To me, it doesn't make sense.
How do vegans justify this to themselves? Because it's quite clearly, you know, in several ways, it's harmful to animals, this.
I don't know how to answer without swearing. They're obviously, I don't know, they're like, I don't know, they're just turning everything round to fit in their own scenario, aren't they? Oh, I'm a vegan this week. I suppose what they'll say now is, oh, I'm plant-based, I don't know. But you get lots of people that, to me, it's a passion, it's a way of life. You know, I obviously slip up. I'm not going to say I'm 100% with everything, but I try with everything that I can and everything I'm handed. And for me personally, the more I've looked into the vaccine, no, I don't want it. When I was 2.5 and I had my MMR, I was really ill for a few weeks, really ill. And I actually remember that I was hallucinating. I don't want to go through that again. And the more I look into the vaccine, the more I've seen, you know, people having strokes. It's horrible. And
well,
I personally
hang on a minute,
don't want
because
that.
Just a minute, I'm no doctor, but if I was your doctor and you've had adverse reactions to vaccines in the past, I would definitely give you an exemption certificate, because the idea that you know if you've had bad reactions to past vaccines, this is an experimental vaccine, which it seems to me has had quite a lot actually of adverse reactions. So there's no way you should be forced to take part in a trial of some sort.
Yeah, but Tony, how does that make sense? Okay, if I get a big sticker and I get a sticker on my forehead saying exempt, or I have to wear a badge, I won't wear the badge because I know what I'm like, number one. But number two, they're telling me that I can still do my job and not have the vaccine. How is that making the other clients safe? Because that's what they're saying. You're being selfish not having the vaccine unless you're exempt. Again, how does that make any difference? If you're exempt from the vaccine, that means you are exactly the same as a person not having the vaccine. So why should I have the right to have a job if I'm exempt?
I mean, could you envisage being in a situation where you've got to take a COVID test every day before you start work?
I do not take a COVID test every day before I start work.
But surely, you know, that might have to happen if you want to carry on your job.
I don't see why I should be bullied into doing that, because what difference is that going to make? I mean, at the moment, if we're going to be honest, I went on a training course the other day and there with the other week, and lots of people at the moment are so emotional. It's shocking. I was sat down. There was a very submissive man sat down who, within 2 minutes of me saying what I'm going to tell you, stood up and was shouting at me. And I said, excuse me, you're being quite intimidating. Can you sit down, please? A lady next to him started shouting at me as well. The woman that was taking the course was just laughing because she couldn't believe that I just managed to rile everyone up. We sat down on this course and the vaccination obviously come up, COVID. I said, I haven't been vaccinated. The whole place went quiet. And I said, well, actually, I said, if we're going to, you know, talk about this, I said, let's be honest. I said, people that are testing themselves every day are more than likely vaccinated. I said, would you agree? I said, because I don't, you know, test every day 20 times. Like, I know lots of people do. I've got a family member that tests herself all the time where she's so scared, and she's been vaccinated. And I said, so if we're going to think along those lines, and they all agreed with me, I said, so let's say for argument's sake in simple maths that 95% of people are going to be testing themselves that have had the vaccine. They said, yeah, that's right. I said, so 5% are not vaccinated that are probably testing themselves. They went, yeah, okay, we agree. I said, so all the results that the government have, all the results that they've got about all these different variants, about all these different spikes, are from people that are vaccinated. They went mad, Tony. They started shouting at me. I said, why are you shouting? I've done nothing wrong. You know, well, I truly believe...
Yeah.
This is a bit off tangent, but I'm not right anyway. I truly believe what the government are doing, they're doing exactly the same. I think it was 1992 with Africa, with the genocide, with the Hutus and Tutsis, how they managed to get two sets of people to go against themselves. That's what they're doing now. But the people, you know, you've got like vegans that split within vegans and vegans. You've got families that are splitting against each other. People are getting really nasty. Now, those people in that room, Tony, they weren't nasty people. And all I said was, you know, vaccinated people are the ones that have got the virus because that's where the results are coming from. But where they couldn't agree with me, they were literally shouting and stood up and pointed in my face.
What about going to see your doctor? Do you think you'll do that and get an exemption?
I would prefer to go to a private doctor if I could save up on my very good wage and get one, because my doctors are not very good. And to be honest, you've got to, I don't know what you've got to do to get an appointment nowadays, but I know I've got to really try so hard for my clients. You know, it's very difficult to get an appointment. But if I am exempt, then obviously I would like to keep my job. I still want to work.
What about other carers you're working with? Obviously you don't necessarily see that much of them, but are there others that think like you? Because surely, you know, there's going to have to be some sort of pushback against this, together, because they can't just single out everybody that doesn't want to have a vaccine. You're not a stupid person. You're an intelligent person that's taken an intelligent decision.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a nice thing to say. There are a few of us, but obviously it's not easy to, because you can only talk to people when you're on doubles up there. There are a few people. I've approached a few when I've known that they haven't had flu jabs, and things like that. But obviously people are very uncomfortable. And a lot of carers will say that they've had the vaccine just to keep the peace. But there are a lot, and a lot of people, they're scared, Tony, and some of these people are young as well. You know, they still want to have children. They're not sure what's going on. They just want to be free and just have a choice to be human, I suppose.
Just remind them all that once Stanley Laham, the doctor, a retired immunologist from Florida, told us, remember, you cannot de-inject the vaccine.
No, you can. You can.
Anyway, V Townsend, thanks very much for joining us.
You are most welcome, Tony.
It'd be nice to stay in touch, see how you get on through the next few months, keeping your job.
Thank you. Wish me luck and everybody else. All right, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, V.